Genesis chapter 5, that's where we're going to be this morning. Genesis, the fifth chapter. It's great to see you all out today on this beautiful Lord's Day. It's so good to be with you. It's always an encouraging thing when we have the opportunity to worship together and to serve our great and awesome God. This clicker doesn't seem to be operating. I'm trying to advance the slide. It's working now, thanks. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. It's so good to see you guys. It's been a wonderful worship period thus far. I really appreciated the Bible class that John led this morning, and I'm so encouraged by the participation in the class. You guys seem to be eager and excited to learn and to discuss spiritual things and to focus on spiritual things. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so I'm excited to proclaim the word to you this morning and thank you all so much for your kind attention. Genesis chapter 5. How difficult it must have been. How difficult it must have been to have lived in a world that was plagued by the curse of sin. That must have been a tremendously difficult thing. To have lived in a world where every thought and every intention of the heart of man seemed to only be evil continuously. That must have been extremely difficult. Challenging. How difficult it must have been to have seen your friends, your family members, your neighbors, your co-workers, everyone around you dropping like flies. And they are dropping like flies because they live their lives according to their own standards. They're dropping like flies because they do what is right in their own eyes. Everyone around you, people are dying because they have blatantly sinned against our Lord. That must have been an immensely difficult world to live in. In Genesis chapter 5, we are introduced to this world. In Genesis chapter 5, we have the genealogy of Adam through Noah, and we see the clear effect that sin had on this world. In Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God." Verse 2, "Male and female he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam, after he fathered Seth, were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters." Verse 5, "Thus all of the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Verse number 8, Genesis chapter 5, verse 8, "Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." Verse 11, Genesis 5, verse 11, "Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died." Verse 14, "Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died." Verse 17, Genesis 5, verse number 17, "Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died." Verse 20, "Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died." Do you see the common denominator? "And he died." Man died because man sinned. Man died because man transgressed the will of God. Man died because man turned his back on God. Man died because from the very beginning of time, it was man that ate that forbidden fruit, flinging open the door to sin and death. And because that door to sin and death has been flung open, all men sin. And because all men sin, all men die. Could you imagine? Yes, yes, you can imagine living in a world that is full of sin. Could you imagine? Yes, yes, you can imagine living in a world that is plagued by the curse of sin. This is a tremendously difficult world to live in. But thankfully, there's a ray of hope. Thankfully, there's a silver lining. Thankfully, this is not the end. In Genesis chapter 5, after this roster of death is listed, we are introduced to a man by the name of Enoch who breaks the pattern. Enoch breaks the pattern in Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse number 18. The Bible says, when Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah for 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Verse 23, thus all of the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. God took him. He was translated by God. He broke the pattern. Enoch was a man who lived in the same world as Adam, who died. He lived in the same world as Seth, who died. The same world as Kenan, who died. The same world as Enosh, who died. The same world as Mahalalel, who died. And the same world as Jared, who died. Enoch was a man who lived in the same world as all of these men, all of these women who died, but he did not, for God took him. And so, the question that we're asking ourselves this morning is, why? Why in the world? Why in the world was Enoch taken by God? Why was he translated by God? Why didn't Enoch see death? Enoch did not see death because Enoch was a man who faithfully walked with his God. Enoch walked with God. And so, again, the question we're asking ourselves today is how? How in the world? How in the world was Enoch able to walk with God? How was he able to stay faithful to his Lord? How was he able to serve God? How was he able to please God in such an ungodly world? How in the world did this happen? This happened because Enoch was a man who had a tremendous amount of faith. Enoch was a faithful man of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have what many translations render the hall of fame or the honor roll of faith. And in this passage, the Hebrew writer speaks of men and women of long ago who remained faithful to their God. But prior to this passage, the Hebrew writer spends a significant amount of time speaking to these Christians who were suffering about how Christ is better. He's telling them how Christ is better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He came in a superior time, and he speaks a far superior message. He speaks this far superior message. And so, Christians, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Don't go back. Don't go back to the old way of doing things. Don't go back to the law. Don't go back to Moses. Don't go back to the prophets. Stay faithful to the Lord. And he encourages them to stay faithful to the Lord by reminding them of all of these faithful men and women of long ago. Look to the faith of Abraham. Look to the faith of Isaac. Look to the faith of Jacob. Look to the faith of Joseph. Look to the faith of the man Enoch. In Hebrews chapter 11, starting verse number 1, the Hebrew writer says, now by faith, Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For it is by the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. Here in this passage, it is clear that Enoch was a man of faith. Enoch was a man who believed God, he trusted in God, and he obeyed God. Faith is believing in God, trusting in God, and obeying God. Enoch would have never pleased the Lord if he had not believed the Lord. Enoch would have never trusted in God if he would not have walked with God. Enoch would have not been taken by God if he had not have obeyed the Lord. It is clear from this passage that Enoch's faith wasn't merely expressed in his life. It was seen by his actions. Enoch was a man who had a tremendous amount of faith in his Lord in spite of all of the sin, in spite of all of the wickedness, in spite of all of the godlessness, in spite of all of the false teaching, in spite of all of the chaos around him. Enoch was dedicated to following, to serving, to pleasing his Lord. That is how he was able to make it out alive. That is why he was taken by God. That is why he did not see death. That is how he was able to break the pattern. He was a man who had a tremendous amount of faith. But not only that, we're asking ourselves the question, how? How in the world? How in the world was Enoch able to break the pattern? How was Enoch able to make it out of this ungodly world alive? How was he able to walk with his God in an ungodly world? He had faith in his Lord, and he preached the word of God. Enoch was a man who boldly and he confidently preached God's word. In his epistle, Jude, who is believed to be the half-brother of Jesus, is writing to Christians who are living in a world full of false teaching, a world full of apostasy, a world full of sin. And what Jude is telling these Christians is, as you live in this world, as you dwell in this world, I want you to contend for the faith. I want you to stand for the truth. I want you to stand your ground, and I want you to preach the word of God. Jude spends an incredible amount of time talking to these Christians about the consequences that God will render upon the people who do not obey him, those who do not serve him, and those who do not glorify him in their lives. God will punish such people. After Jude speaks of all of these ungodly people who will be punished by the Lord for not serving the Lord, he mentions the man Enoch. In Jude, verse number 14, Jude writes, "It was about these unfaithful, ungodly people, it was about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, 'Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all of the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him.'" Verse 16, "These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage." Could you imagine? Could you imagine how difficult that must have been? How difficult it must have been for Enoch to stand in front of a people who were loud-mouth boasters showing favoritism to gain advantage. Could you imagine how difficult it must have been for Enoch to stand in front of a multitude of people who rejected authority, people who relied on their dreams, people who defiled the flesh? Could you imagine how hard it must have been for Enoch to proclaim God's word in a world full of people who could not care less about God's word. how difficult it must have been for Enoch to proclaim God's word in a world full of people who lived their lives according to their own sinful and fleshly desires. A world full of people who rejected the Lord. A world full of people who did not honor God. A world full of people who did not revere the Lord. How difficult it must have been for him to profess the word of God. It must have been incredibly difficult. But in spite of the difficulty, Enoch boldly preached God's word. Did you see how many times he mentions the word ungodly in this passage? To execute judgment on all of the ungodly, of all of their ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way. What he's telling these people is, you have sinned against the Lord. God is going to punish you, and God is going to take you to hell. That was his message. He didn't hesitate. He wasn't afraid. He didn't run away. He didn't join in on the sins of the people. He didn't preach some shallow, watered-down message. He told the people exactly what they were doing wrong, exactly what they had done, exactly what God was going to do to them, and exactly what they needed to do to get their lives right. He was a bold preacher of the Word of God. And because he boldly preached the Word of God in this ungodly world, because he stood up for his God, because he contended for the faith, he was taken by God. He made it out alive. He was able to walk with his Lord in an ungodly world. This morning we're asking ourselves the question, how? How in the world was Enoch able to make it out alive? He made it out alive because he had a tremendous amount of faith in his God. He made it out alive because he boldly preached the word of God. And he made it out alive because he was a man who set a godly example. Enoch set a godly example. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 6, the writer speaks of how every thought and intention of the heart of man was only evil continually. Man did not know the Lord. They did not obey the Lord. They did not serve the Lord. The text says in Genesis chapter 6, because of this, the Spirit of God could no longer strive with man. God was set to destroy the entire earth and start all over again. But before he destroyed the earth, he saw a man who stood out. He saw a man who walked against the grain. He saw a man who was different. The text says in Genesis chapter 6, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So, verse 7, the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But, verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. In a world where every thought, every intention of the heart of man was only evil continually. In a world that was so corrupt, so messed up, so ungodly, that the Lord of all creation was ready to wipe them out and start all over again. In a world such as this, Noah was blameless. Noah was righteous. Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Noah walked with God. You may be sitting here thinking, okay, Tim, I get it. I see that Noah was righteous. I see that he was blameless. I see that he walked with God. But why are you talking about Noah? Why are you spending all this time bringing Noah up? Isn't this lesson about Enoch? Yes. Yes, this lesson is about Enoch. Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather. How fascinating. How fascinating is this? Enoch's great-grandson, Noah, is said to have walked with his Lord. Perhaps Noah heard about how his great-grandfather lived in an ungodly world. Maybe Noah heard about how his great-grandfather had a tremendous amount of faith in his God. Perhaps Noah heard about how his great-grandfather stood up and boldly told a world that could not care less about God how they were going to be punished by God. Maybe, just maybe, Noah heard about how his great-grandfather never saw death. How his great-grandfather was translated by God. How his great-grandfather Enoch was taken by God. How he walked with God. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But it's so fascinating that Scripture tells us that his great-grandson Noah was a man who too walked with his Lord. Enoch likely never imagined that his example, his life, and his influence would have lived on centuries later in the life and the example of his great-grandson. It was able to live on because Enoch was a man who was so focused on God. He was so focused on pleasing the Lord, serving the Lord, and walking with his Maker. He was able to make it out alive. He was able to live, for he was a man who had faith, he preached the word, and he set a godly example. We are sadly living in a world that is very similar to the world that Enoch lived in. Sadly, we are living in a world that has been tremendously influenced and impacted by sin. How? That's the question this morning. How in the world are we able to stay faithful? How can we stay faithful to God in a world like this? When we have to go to work and we hear the bad language from our coworkers. When we have to go to school and our classmates are telling us about that boy or that girl's house who they spent the night with. When we have to go out into the community and we see all of the immorality. When we see all of the sin, when we get online and we read all of the horrible, awful things that are going on in our world, how in the world can we stay faithful to our Lord in a world like this? We stay faithful to our Creator, our Maker, and our God when we have faith in Him. Have faith in God. Believe in God. Trust in God. Obey God. What is faith? Faith is believing in the Lord, believing that He exists, believing that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Believe that centuries ago, He spoke this world into existence and He put you in it. Believe that centuries ago, he had a tremendous desire to have a relationship with you. Believe that centuries ago, he called his only begotten Son to leave the glories of heaven, to come to this earth, to suffer, to die, and to rise so that you may have life. Believe that that happened. And when you believe that that happened, if you truly believe in that, then you're going to be motivated. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be inspired to serve Him all the days of your life, to obey Him. Faith is more than professing your belief in God. Faith is living out that faith. Enoch's faith was not merely professed, it was lived. If we want to make it out alive, we're going to have faith in our Lord. How do we get faith? How does it happen? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way that we can develop this type of faith, this incredible faith that believes that the Lord created this earth, the faith that believes that he sent his only begotten son to this earth to die for us, the faith that believes that one day, some glad morning, the faith that believes that one day, soon and very soon, we will be with the Lord for all of eternity. The only way that we can develop that type of faith in God is if we spend time in his word. We have to spend time in his word, reading it, studying it, meditating on it, thinking about it, trying to be more and more like Christ. And I'm going to be very frank with you this morning. If the only time that we ever open up our Bibles is on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday nights, we are not going to have the type of faith that we need to get out of this world alive. That is not enough. We will be spiritually malnourished. And I know very well that it is hard. It's hard to open up your Bible every single day and read it. Back when I was preaching and just preaching alone and didn't have a secular job, it was easy for me to get up here and say, y'all need to be reading your Bibles every day. But now that I have a secular job, I know how hard it is. You get off work and you're tired. You don't feel like doing anything. But trust me, if you take the time, whether it be in the morning or whether it be during the day while you're on your lunch break or whether it be at night before you go to sleep, if you take the time to read God's word and not just read it but to meditate on God's word, your life will be far better. You will be far more encouraged. You will be built up. You will be strengthened. God's word is powerful. God's word is able to change our lives. It gives us joy when we're in times of sorrow. It gives us peace when we're in times of panic. It gives us hope when we feel hopeless. As difficult as it may be on a day-to-day basis, find the time to open up God's word and study God's word. That is how we develop this incredible amount of faith, this incredible amount of faith that we need to make it out of this world alive. The question we're asking ourselves this morning is how? How can I walk with God in a world that could not care less about God? How can I walk with God in a sinful, wicked, corrupt place where every thought and intention of the heart of man is only evil continually? I walk with God when I have faith in God, and I walk with God when I preach God's word. Enoch boldly and he confidently preached God's word. It does us no good. It does us absolutely no good to know all of these facts, to know all of these figures, to know all of these things about the Bible. It does us absolutely no good to know that there is an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. It does us no good to know how many books are in the Old Testament, how many books are in the New Testament, how many major prophets there are, how many minor prophets there are. It does us absolutely no good to know all of the 12 tribes of Israel, all of the 12 apostles. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. It does us no good to know all of that. All of that information is absolutely useless. It's useless if we're not going to share it. It makes no difference. It makes no difference if we come to this building on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday nights and learn all of this stuff in Bible class and hear all of this stuff from the pulpit if we're not leaving the four walls of this church building, sharing it with other people. In his Great Commission, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, "Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to all creation." The word "go" is an action word. Go does not mean warm up a pew. Go does not mean sit in your house. Go means leave. Go into all of the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Paul would say in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, how shall this world call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they, how shall the United States of America believe in him of whom they have not heard? Paul says, and how shall they hear without someone preaching to them? How shall Bartlett, Tennessee, hear without each and every one of us leaving this building, leaving our homes, and going out into this world and preaching the gospel to all creation? How shall they hear? They can't hear. It's up to each and every one of us to go out into this world and share the word of God. It's not just my responsibility. It's not just Cloyce's responsibility. It's not just Eric's responsibility. It's not just the Bible class teacher's responsibility. It's not just men in pulpits all across the world's responsibility to preach the word of God. It's the Christian's responsibility. It's the Christian's responsibility. Paul concludes that statement in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15 by saying, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Their feet are not beautiful because they got a pedicure. Their feet are beautiful because the gospel is a beautiful thing. The gospel promotes peace. The gospel makes this world a better place. The gospel causes men and women to call upon the name of the Lord. The gospel pricks the hearts of men. The gospel can change this world. The gospel turns this world upside down. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 17. If we expect to make it out of this world, then we, like Enoch, are going to preach the gospel to all of the world. How is the question that we are asking ourselves this morning? How in the world can we make it out alive? How in the world do we walk with God in an ungodly world? We walk with God in an ungodly world when we have faith in God, when we preach the word of God, and when we set a godly example. Enoch set a godly example. The example that Enoch left lived on in his great-grandson, Noah. Are you concerned about your example? Are you concerned about how you speak? Are you concerned about who you hang out with? Are you concerned about what you do when you're alone? Someone's watching you. Someone is watching every single thing that you do. If it's not a friend, if it's not a family member, if it's not a coworker, if it's not a neighbor, it's God. If we hope, if we have a desire, and if we expect to make it out of this world alive, then we're going to live our lives for everyone around us. As Jesus said, if we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if we truly love our neighbors just as much as we love ourselves, then we're going to live our lives for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for our associates, for our classmates. We're going to be concerned about what they think about us. We're going to be concerned about how they view us. If we're living for Jesus, if we're living for Jesus, even though they may not proclaim it, even though they may not say it, even though they may ridicule you, even though they may persecute you, they know. They know that you serve someone who is great. They know that you serve someone who is awesome. They know that you serve someone who is holy, someone who is reverent. They see you. They see you as a saint, as a child of God. As I'm up here speaking, I'm reminded of Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, when Stephen was being tried before the Jewish religious leaders, they were about to kill him. They were saying all these false things about him. And the text says in verse number 15, and gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. They hated him. They wanted to persecute him. They were lying about him. But when they looked at him, when they looked at him, they saw him as someone who is holy, someone who is godless, and someone who is blameless. Stephen is a man who set a godly example. Enoch was a man who set a godly example. Jesus was a man who set the greatest example for all of the world to follow, and may that be your mindset. May that be your attitude. May you be focused on that every single day. I love what Psalm 71, verse 17 through 18 says. The psalmist says, "O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Until I proclaim your might to another generation and your power to those to come." May this be our attitude. May this be our mindset. May we be focused, always concentrated on proclaiming the glory, the majesty, and the will of God to another generation. When we do this, when we let our light so shine before all men that they see our good works, they're going to say, "Oh, look how great and awesome Eric Hudson is." And Eric Hudson's going to say, "No. No, absolutely not. Look and see how great and how awesome my God is." May that be so for every last one of us here today. When we live that way, yes, yes, we, like Enoch, will make it out of this world alive. We can, and we will. I'm confident. I'm sure. I'm certain that every single person in this local church has the ability to have a tremendous amount of faith in God, to preach the word of God, and to set a godly example. You have the ability to do it because you are already doing it. I know you're doing it. Continue to do it. Persevere, stay faithful, stay focused, don't quit, don't give up. Let's serve the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, this is the perfect opportunity to do so. You do that by hearing the word of God, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confessing your sins before all men, confessing the name of Jesus before all men, and having your sins completely washed away in the watery grave of baptism. If you've done that before, but you've made mistakes, and you would like the help, the prayers, and the encouragement of this local congregation, please don't wait another moment. Please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.